And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
Welcome to Jalen and Jacoby. In for Jalen Rose, we have the return of my mother's favorite co-host. Chinne Agwumike is here, fresh off a flight from Nigeria.
Yay, yay. Yo.
So, Chinne.
When are we going to call it Nay and Jay? When are we going to make this official?
Nay and Jay? Nay and Jay is, that's going to work. But yeah. We call it, I think Jay and Nay. Jay and Nay. Nay and Jay sounds better, though. I can't
Nay
lie.
Nay and Jay sounds way better.
Nay and Jay
sorry.
Does sound better. Yeah. And I know who I am. I'm second billing. I'm the second banana.
Big
we
trust.
Start the show in the Bay, where Miami Heat took their talents to the Bay Area and took on Wiggins and the Warriors and got a win. Miami Heat retooled their roster a little bit, and a lot of people were talking about the addition of Andre Iguodala, but it has been Jay Crowder who's been contributing the last couple games. Butler and Crowder each had 21 points. What does Crowder bring to this Miami Heat team?
I mean, Jay Crowder is a perfect fit for the Miami Heat. If you think about his mentality, his toughness, you remember when he got like that tap from Tristan Thompson and he like immediately bucked up? Mm-hmm. It's just really interesting to see how the Heat continue to find players that fit their mold. Jimmy Butler, tough. Bam Adebayo, tough. This is the Pat Riley culture, and I think that Jay Crowder fully fits into this mold.
He really does. He plays a lot of defense, too. I mean, he's a true sort of like 3-and-D type of player, and I think people forget just how good his defense is. And then when I have seen him be successful in Miami, just as you said, it's like, oh, yeah, of course this works. He's tough. He plays D. He can shoot. They don't ask him to play make, so he doesn't have to. They've already got that in Butler and others. But Andre Iguodala, in his second game in a Heat uniform, his second game in quite some time, and it kind of looked like it, he only had 2 points again. How long do you think it'll take for Andre Iguodala to sort of get back into midseason form?
So once you take extended periods of breaks, you know, when you're an athlete, it's hard to sort of find your rhythm. I mean, he was on the ESPN circuit. We saw him. And so, like, it's not easy to jump back from, okay, I'm doing TV. I haven't practiced that much. I haven't played that much. And then jumping back into an NBA game where people are hitting their stride. I know we've talked about Nikola Jokic starting the season. How many games did it take for him to really find himself? Probably like 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for Iggy, it's going to take him a little bit of a while, but I'm not worried because we all know his body is going to be right for the playoffs.
Of course. And he's been making a lot of money while he has not been playing basketball. Good for Iguodala. Well, Iguodala was in the Bay, and he famously won some championships there, even had a finals MVP. And he was going to be honored before the game by either Steph or Klay. And here's how they determined who was going to have to make the speech about Iguodala. Rock, paper, scissors. The only way to make any sort of determination. So, Chinne, I want to officially challenge you to one round of rock, paper, scissors live on television because I am an excellent rock, paper, scissors player.
Wait, are you a shooter? Are you like rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
Yes. Yes, that's the only way to do it. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ready?
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No!
Got you. I'm undefeated. I'm absolutely undefeated.
No. Let's go two out of three.
No. I said one round.
Don't try changing now. You need me here today.
No, not listening. I will take this thing out of my ear so I cannot hear you.
I can't trade off a flight out of Nigeria. Come on. Ready?
No. We're going to move on.
I thought we were friends.
Well, there's been drama all around Philadelphia involving the Sixers. They were on a little losing streak. They got a win against the Bulls on Sunday. But then we have social media. And I love it when it spills over to social media. And
he's
Joel
so
Embiid
petty.
Is one of the best at it. He posted this on Instagram, which caught a lot of people's attention. He said that if you live long enough, here we are, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And then Jimmy Butler chimes in. I know a place where villains are welcome. And then Joel Embiid, just to add more fuel to the fire, sort of kind of agreed with them and said, you're right, my brother. So, Chinne, is this just social media noise or could there be more to this?
You know, I'm not the one to try to read too much into it, but let me sip my tea real quick before I tell you, okay?
I've got some as well.
It is crystal clear that Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler are bros. They're friends. And it's crystal clear that these two guys play with chips on their shoulders, and that's sort of how they attack the league. I would not be surprised if I saw a scenario, I don't know if it's soon or later, where they play together.
Ooh.
Just because It's sort of like what you see with Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. Like, you can bounce people around. People have their own journeys and paths in the league, but they eventually play with the guys they want to play with. And Joel Embiid has a real bond with Jimmy Butler. It's just apparent. He respects how Jimmy Butler plays. He respects how, even though he was in that controversial situation, he got where he needed to go. And I think right now with the Philadelphia 76ers, this is a team that I really thought was going to win the East, like be the team that advances to the finals. But it's the egos that have gotten in their way. And when I think of egos between the two guys, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, these guys are young. I don't know if you noticed, but anytime they play and they rise to the level of their competition. So you play sub 500 teams, you're not going to play that hard or play that well. You play the top of the top teams, you play teams, you know, on like the big holidays and all that type of stuff, they compete. That's not how it should be. And I think when you see them faltering and going up and down, it's a sign of their maturity. And it just really is a sign of the relationship or lack thereof between the synergy of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I don't blame Joel Embiid because he needs floor spacing to work. And I don't blame Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons plays hard every possession and is durable. But the problem is there's not an easy marriage between the two. And those things are spilling into the locker room, as you heard from Al Horford earlier this week.
It's interesting that you bring this up for a couple reasons. Number one, they do have a big nationally televised game tonight against the Clippers. We will see if, as you say, they sort of like rise their game up in these big spots. And also, we've always heard these rumors that while they play well together and they are friends, that they don't really click. Like, there's not that sort of like teammate brotherhood that you hear from other duos around the league. So perhaps there could be some truth to those little trickling of rumors. Have you heard those little trickling of rumors on the social media and on the internet and blog posts that perhaps that Joel Embiid could become available via trade at some point from the 76ers? Could you ever see Elton Brand and the Sixers franchise making a move to actually trade Embiid?
I don't think right now. I think you have to give this an opportunity to try to work, whether that is in the future, figuring out the pieces around them that make it work. Because what they've tried to do is convert Tobias Harris into like a guard, meaning like, okay, Ben Simmons, you know, comes up the floor and is in a pick and roll with Tobias. That automatically puts Tobias on the perimeter and Ben as a post. But then when you have Ben as a post, Joel Embiid needs more space. So that doesn't work too well consistently. Also, there are two faces to this team. When Ben Simmons is in, they run and gun. When Joel Embiid is in, he wants to sort of be on the block and just back it in and take that time, dribble, 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 dribble. And that's sort of where he gets caught up because the help defense can dig and dig. I know I'm going into this, but
no, I like
I don't think in the near future you will see anything really happening because you have to really give it your all right now between those two. But frustrations can linger. And when lingering frustrations happen, that's when you see people on the move. It'll be interesting to see who they value more, the 76ers, Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, as the catalyst, the engine, the future piece that is not moving.
And as you, I had very high expectations for the 76ers roster, and I thought that they would come out of the East. But let me remind you, it's not the playoffs yet. It could still happen. Your regular season records get thrown out.
And I would say that
if this team goes out early, say in the first round or something, then I could see Brand making a move. But I could also see this team going all the way to the NBA Finals. Another team that was in the finals and won the finals last year that I had low expectations for coming into the season has been on an absolute tear. The Toronto Raptors, without Kawhi Leonard, have won 15 professional basketball games in a row.
Let's go.
Pascal Siakam yesterday had 34 points to lead the Raptors past the Timberwolves. What do you think about this Raptors run?
Look, I'm not here for all those people that are trying to right now jump on the Raptors bandwagon, because there are people last year saying, oh, it was a fluke, the Warriors, you know, they got injured, which rightfully so. Maybe if the Warriors were healthy, they probably would have won the finals whole series. But even the fact of the matter is that we had one of the most fun and engaging NBA finals through Kawhi and all that stuff. Who would have ever thought that they would be, you know, statistically through their record, just as good right now?
It's crazy.
I've always said, like, I've always been high on this team because I worked the G League Showcase in Toronto a couple years ago, and I saw that farm system in person. I saw that Pascal Siakam was like a finals MVP of the G League. Chris Boucher, that a lot of people saw, I've seen him be an MVP of the G League. Like, those type of guys are being nurtured and harvested. Even Coach Nick Nurse has ties to the G League. Jerry Stackhouse has ties to the G League. Like, these guys are excellent at developing talent. OG Anunoby, like, like, talking about coming from Nigeria. You know, they have a lot of ties also to Africa on their team. Serge Ibaka, you found a lot of guys that play hard, work hard. Let's talk about Terrence Davis, like another guy that has just sort of came out of nowhere but has been essential to them as well. My guy, I went to, you know, Stanford University, Pac-12, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, like another guy that people looked at like, oh, how good are you? Like, contributor. The Raptors are real, and I think a lot of people are surprised, but that's one thing I really love. Chemistry still matters in the NBA, and also development. Those are two things that can help you compete with the top of the top when you not necessarily have that, like, Warriors-level distribution or the Lakers-level distribution or even the Celtics-level distribution of talent. So I have been all in on the Raptors for 3 years now, but it's really great to see them finally get some respect in the North.
Well, I have been sleeping on the Raptors, and they just keep winning basketball games, but they still are behind the Bucks in the Eastern Conference, and the Bucks got a win last night without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Why, Chinee? Because Giannis Antetokounmpo had a baby boy. Him and his girlfriend Mariah welcomed Liam into the world, and you know, I've got a million children, way too many children. So, would you like to hear my advice for the new father, Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Is there going to be more advice besides, like, getting a minivan?
No, yes, I've got more than just getting
okay,
a minivan.
Okay, I want to hear it then.
All right. Rule number one, do whatever your wife says. That's number one.
Co-sign
do whatever
that.
Your wife says. Because honestly, she's doing the majority of the work.
Number two,
you're rich, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Night nurse. Get a night nurse. That is someone who basically just takes care of the child overnight so you can sleep through the night and get a little rest yourself. And Velcro swaddle blankets. Don't try to tie the swaddle blankets yourself, Giannis. Get the Velcro ones. No snaps on the PJs. This is very important. Snaps will do you in. Snaps will ruin your life. Make sure you have zippers only. And again, most importantly, do whatever your wife says.
I would agree with everything on your list except the night nurse part, because one thing you fail to realize, speaking of this being the Nigerian episode, your girl here in Nigeria, my name, hey, do you remember my name? What's my name?
Oh, don't do this to
What's
me. Don't
name?
Put me on the
do
spot.
It. Say my name. Say my name. Come on.
Chinee Joy?
Yes.
Ogwumike?
Oh, come on. Chinee Joy Nena Ogwumike. Okay.
Yes,
his name is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, I know a lot of people talk about the Greek freak, but his family, he always told people when he came home, he was in a Nigerian household. So when you talk about night nurses, we already got night nurses. His mom. You know how African parents roll?
Yes, you don't hire
night nurses.
She will be at the house.
Mom.
It's a good point. That's a really good point. Chinee Ogwumike in for Jalen Rose. And the Denver Nuggets are making a move, Chinee. They are making a move after beating the Spurs last night. They've won four in a row, and they are only three games behind the Lakers for that top spot. Do you think they can challenge the Lakers for a number one seed?
I think that they can, but I also think that the Lakers have slipped as of late, meaning there are some winnable games that the Lakers just dropped, so they could have had a little bit more cushion. But I like this from the Nuggets, because entering the season, weren't you high on the Nuggets? Like, entering the season, everyone was like, okay, this is going to be their year where they get over the hump. And then they felt, you know, they felt some adversity, especially with Jokic starting off a little bit slower. But that's the beautiful thing about an 82-game season. You have plenty of time to get into your rhythm. And I also think that Jamal Murray being back has been really helpful for them. He was, what, out about 10 or so games?
Yeah.
And I still think he's playing through some of his pain. The fact that he's soldiering it out sort of shows you where their mindset is. They want to challenge the Lakers at the top of the standings. So I think it's going to be fun because the West is stacked.
The West is. Like, there's so many teams in the West that I could see in the NBA Finals, and the Nuggets are definitely one of those teams. And my guy, Jokic, the Stretch Mark 5, looks like he's in shape. I mean, I know it's almost Valentine's Day.
You gotta get that body right for Valentine's
Day. But the Stretch Mark 5 seems like he's in shape, and he's putting up the numbers that we all expected him to put up, and he will maybe even play his way into the MVP conversation,
like,
as we expected.
That was really funny.
Earlier. Okay. Every year I do this. Every year I say, this is the year the Spurs are not going to make the playoffs. And every year I'm wrong. Every year I'm wrong. But I did it again, and they are now really, really slipping. They're 0-5 on their 8-game rodeo trip. So, Chinee, I'm saying it again into a microphone on television. This is the year the Spurs won't make the playoffs. They are outside of the 8th seed right now, 5 games behind the Grizzlies. Will this finally be the year that the Spurs do not make the playoffs?
Look, this is the year to be nervous because I'm looking at the standings right now. I know the Mavericks have also dealt with some issues. My best friend is Dwight Powell, who got injured, and they brought in Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, they're trying to stay above water.
I thought we were best friends.
So, you know, the Mavs are still going to make noise. OKC, that's been one of the fun stories so far this season, especially with Chris Paul. Portland, my goodness, Dame Dollar. So I've been gone. I've been in Nigeria for a week, and I was just like watching those numbers. And Dame is my friend for through my Adidas family, and I'm like, yo, he's on a mission. He is on a mission, and I also think that he doesn't get enough respect. He gets it from the streets, but maybe not from the referees. A lot of people have been talking about those calls. He takes a lot of contact. He's one of those small guys that can still find ways to finish at the rim. He could get a couple more and ones. You know, people talk about Steph Curry that way. He doesn't get a lot of calls. Dame is the same. And then still his numbers, like, ridiculous. Still in the mix. Obviously, San Antonio is right under there. Now, this might be the year I'm nervous because think about Memphis, too. Like, you have to talk about Ja and what they've been able to do.
It's not happening, Chanae. I mean, it's not happening. You just don't want to say it. You know it's not happening. All those teams you named are more likely to be in the playoffs than the Spurs. You know it.
Yeah.
You know it. You just won't commit to it.
I'm not going to commit this early because we have to show respect to Pop. Because so far, we have to think about how good it's been for them in this run until they get out. And then we can talk about it after that.
We will. The Brooklyn Nets have a terrible record, but they are still in the playoff hunt because they're in the Eastern Conference. They got a big win over the Pacers, 1-point win over the Pacers led by Dinwiddie. The Pacers have lost 6 straight games, and that's with Victor Oladipo coming back. What do you think has led to this slide from Indiana?
So this is a team that, for a large degree, has overperformed. A lot of guys that have played well, they've had good synergy. And talking about, like, I feel like this is like the whole Nigerian episode because Victor Oladipo, my Nigerian brother from another mother, right? And we talked about Andre Iguodala coming back. You know, he was not necessarily injured at all. He was just older and then now trying to find his rhythm midseason. Victor's dealing with an injury coming back in the middle of the season. That is not easy still. So when you see athletes sort of pop in and dominate, that should show you how impressive it actually is because it's so hard. You cannot practice game speed. Like, you can be doing workouts, you can be doing rehabilitation, but your shot just feels different, and your body feels different. You sort of have to relearn your body, and that's exactly what Victor Oladipo is doing in real time. And then he's surrounded by, I know Domantas Sabonis, I mean, all-star, which is so impressive, right? But these are not, like, the surefire names that you know can get you wins no matter what.
So yeah, that's a good point.
This is a team that I think has overperformed, and when Victor's healthy, he plays that inspiring basketball that helps his team get to that mentality so that they can do it. But he's not, like, fully back yet, so I'm giving them a pass until later on.
And the other side of the ball, the Nets did get a win, and they were without KD and Kyrie. What do you think happens with this roster when those two come back next year? Like, is there still room for Dinwiddie on it?
Look, they need Dinwiddie. I know the question has been his role, whether on the bench, whether as a starter, but this guy is a starter in the NBA. He's a guy that, you know, has that confidence to lead teams, to win games, and to elevate the play of those around him. Like, it's just sort of like the Nets. They play better, they feel better when he's on the floor. It's sort of like they understand his identity, you know, to the organization. Now, I think they have to, and this is where I'm gonna bring in Kobe Bryant, because I think I think Kyrie's relationship with Kobe and the way players are feeling right now, especially when it comes to Kobe, makes all the drama in the locker room seem small, right? You have to play with a purpose. You have to play for a reason. And I think this will unite them in a unique way that hopefully when everyone is healthy, Kyrie now knowing how valuable that relationship was to him and what he tries to pursue on the court in his, like, you know, name and legacy, he has to be a better teammate, and he will be a better teammate. KD the same, and that involves Spencer Dinwiddie being a big part of their future. So I would like them three to be the big three, and I think that right now all those petty things, those words that are said to reporters or to players or to coaches and teammates, we realize that maybe you can move on from that knowing that there's bigger things in life, and I think that will help the Brooklyn Nets in the future.
It's good perspective. It is now time for Soft Move or Boss Move. So we've been celebrating your Nigerian heritage today on the show, and a Canadian tennis player by the name of Vasek Pospisil was celebrating his Canadian heritage by doing this during a match. on the side during a break. That is a bottle of maple syrup. He opens it up and just straight up tapes a swig in the middle of a match. Chinee, drinking syrup in the middle of a match, soft move or boss move?
That's a boss move because it's working for him. I'm from Houston, Texas, and when people do stuff in the middle of high-pressure situations, it's a different type of syrup. But let me tell you, I've never, you know, usually, like, you hear things through the grapevine, you know, like drinking pickle juice and, like, some random stuff, smelling salts. I've never, ever heard of, like, a shot of maple syrup. I've heard of legit shots.
It's just so, like, viscous. Like, it just seems like it would not help my breathing. I don't know what would be good about it at all. But you know what? Don't knock it till you try it. I have some syrup right here. Let's give it a shot.
Go. Mm. No. You didn't do enough of it. You didn't do enough.
Oh, no. No, that was not a good idea.
You didn't do enough of it.
That was a terrible idea. I'll admit it, I'm not the best at giving myself the warm, delicious breakfast that I deserve. I've had my fair share of sad breakfasts. Beige, plastic wrap, brick-shaped protein bars, day-old break room donuts, frozen breakfast trays. Not my finest moments. But now that McChicken breakfast sandwiches are on the McDonald's breakfast menu, I don't think I can ever go back to my old breakfast life. And you shouldn't either. That's a breakfast worth getting up for. It's time to change your life. For breakfast, buttery, crispy McChicken biscuits and the savory, sweet chicken McGriddles, freshly prepared and now available nationwide at McDonald's. That's how you wake up breakfast. They're at participating McDonald's for limited time. Moving on. Well, this isn't really news, but we knew it was going to be news, and now it's officially news. Philip Rivers, after 16 years of being with the Chargers, has moved on. He will officially become a free agent. Philip Rivers has a lot of children, so he's got to keep working. Do you think there is a market for the 38-year-old quarterback?
I think it's a tough situation that he's really in. I'm not necessarily worried about the market. It's more so like, how have we talked about him towards the end of his career? This guy's an 8-time Pro Bowler. He's also one of those guys that, like, he still has name value with his brand. So maybe, but 38, like, we talk about Tom Brady at 38. Way different, you know, and we've seen what he's done recently with his success. So I think it's more so putting respect and really enjoying these guys before they're done.
It's a good point. And I feel like Philip Rivers is going to be one of those quarterbacks that was excellent, that was one of the best that we've seen of his era, but will also not be a Super Bowl champion.
But also, like, loyal. He's spent his entire career with the Chargers.
Of course. Well, you mentioned Tom Brady, so him leaving the Chargers leaves a vacancy. We've got Tom Brady and Cam Newton out there as potential people that could go under center for the Chargers. Do you think either of them should go to Los Angeles Chargers?
Okay, speaking of lifers, I just don't see Tom Brady leaving that scenario. Mm. Like, I've played with players that have, you know, speaking of Candace Parker, like, do you ever think Candace Parker would ever not be a spark? Never, right?
No.
When you are with a franchise for so long, I can't see you walking away. And so that's my line of thinking when it comes to Tom Brady. But Cam Newton is a little different just because, like, he's younger. And also, it's sort of like the relationship has sort of become frayed. And you know me, I'm not like a football head yet, but I was just looking at the quarterback situation.
Okay.
When it came, and Kyle Allen and Will Greer, like, I still like Cam Newton in the mix there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think it would be fun to see Cam in a new market, one in California. That would be extremely marketable, but still, I think his value is greater with his current team based on the talent of their quarterback pool. So,
absolutely. Kyle Allen had one good game in Green Bay, and we all thought that he was going to be the future of the Panthers, and then he was terrible after that. Moving on to the Los Angeles Lakers. They beat the Suns yesterday. That's not necessarily a surprise, but what was a surprise is the production they got from Rajon Rondo. He had 23 points and 6 assists. 2 games ago, it was Avery Bradley who sort of like contributed and had a big game. And now it is Rondo. But that leads to the question, do LeBron and AD have enough on their team right now to win a championship with the Lakers, or do they need to go out and perhaps bring in somebody like Dion Waiters?
Ooh, Dion Waiters. Okay. I think we heard it best from LeBron, who said we have enough, which they do. Yep. But the problem is, so far this season, we haven't seen them have enough versus the Bucks. We haven't seen them have enough versus the Clippers in those signature games. So that's why everyone's thinking maybe they have to look elsewhere to get a boost off the bench. That's why it was a Marcus Morris senior, you know, discussion where he went to the Clippers, like, oh, that would have been a huge asset for the Lakers. But I still do think they have enough. I think it's been really interesting because we're always, you know, you talk about the Lakers and you also have to talk about the Clippers. The Clippers have a lot of plug and play players. Meaning Kawhi Leonard can just jump on a court and hoop. Paul George can jump on a court and hoop. Lou Will can jump on a court and hoop. Montrezl Harrell can jump on the court and hoop. That's why they've won so early, even though they don't have that much chemistry. The Lakers have had to find a way, each and every player, to play around LeBron James. We learned that took a while in Cleveland. It took a while, despite the talent they had in Miami. It's going to take a while for the Lakers, for them to be so good so early, consistently at the top of the West, is a good sign, which is why you hear them having enough. Now, getting to Dion Waiters. I don't like it when we put players into purgatory. Like, I don't like it when we put Carmelo into NBA purgatory. I don't like that at all. We are putting Dion Waiters. Now, I know there's been some questionable stuff with Dion Waiters and stories. But it's almost like there was a little, I feel like a little bit of propaganda, like the league is turning against him and like things kept stacking up. And then he came back and obviously was valuable in a couple games for the Heat. But I still think that if there's going to be a scenario where he thrives, it's with a team like the Lakers with veterans that will not tolerate poor behavior and are respected. So I can see that scenario working out. And he's still a bucket, despite what everyone says.
Oh, yeah, he is a bucket. And here's how it's going to work. Who is Anthony Davis represented by? Oh, that's right. Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. Who is LeBron represented by? Oh, that's right. Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. And, Dion Waiters. Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. Rich Paul gets on the phone, calls Rob Pelinka and said, I just spoke to Dion. He's so excited about the opportunity. He's going to be on his best behavior and he will play with the second team and give you some buckets. You're going to be good. Give him 13 minutes a game and he'll give you 10 points.
I know he's like had a stop in between, but like going from Miami to LA, that's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It is not bad at all. Well, fresh off his second buzzer beater of the season, my third favorite Bogdanovich in the league did something really special yesterday. Now, I love anything fancy, especially if it's unnecessary. And check out Bogdanovich and look what he does to KP right here. Completely unnecessary between Kristaps Porzingis' legs. Watch it again. For no reason whatsoever. Gets nothing out of it, but does it anyway. Do you support the unnecessary between the legs move?
Look, this man is bold. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's one of those eye tests where it's like, oh, you know, I can go out there and guard him. It's an eye test. They're like, oh, he's not that quick. But this man is skilled. And now I think everyone's on red alert. Like, this guy can actually embarrass me, whether it's with a game winner or with a crazy move like that. He's been fun this season.
Shanae, I have an important announcement. With this play, this unnecessary, tricky play, Bojan Bogdanovic is now my favorite Bogdanovic in the league. Bogdan Bogdanovic has not been doing it for me lately, and I will continue to update the Bogdanovic power rankings every week here on Jalen and Jacoby. Because, again, I just love how unnecessary this is.
So, it
is
only, so unnecessary.
It is not like a behind-the-back pass that has some function. That was just to be disrespectful, and I always am here for disrespect.
Cosign.
It is unwarranted.
Cosign.
Always. Always. It is now time for cultural or regional. Let's go. Janae, I know you know how cultural and regional works, and this one just had to happen. Hennessy became the official spirit of the National Basketball Association, which leads to the natural question, is Hennessy cultural or regional?
So, does this mean, if I'm reading between the lines here, Hennessy becomes the official spirit of the NBA, the WNBA, the G League. Okay, so this is us too.
Yes.
This is cultural. Because the NBA, the demographics of the league, and typically its followers, might like Henny. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Like, yes. Yes.
This is cultural.
It is definitely cultural. Now, we have a segment tailored just for you, Chiney, where you can decide what you want to discuss. That segment's called Keep It Moving. If you would like to talk about the topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, me, you and Matt the Man, jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Ms. Agwumike?
Oh, let's do it. Hey.
MLB is considering making playoff format changes. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes. I'm curious.
I'm interested in this. They're thinking about expanding the playoffs to 14 teams, but here's what gets interesting. You'll be able to essentially select who you want your opponent to be in those rounds if you have a better record. So if we were to do this in, I don't know, the National Basketball Association, the Bucks and the Lakers, as it currently stands, could pick their first round opponent. Do you think that they should do that in the NBA?
Well, aren't teams already doing that? Because you can see some funny business happening at the end of the season.
Bit.
Like,
yes.
Why are they losing three games straight?
Yes,
why are they resting all their stars?
There is a little bit of that.
They're already doing that already, so I'm not mad at it. But that's really interesting. That's a boss move, right?
I like it. I like the selection of your opponent. You've earned that through the regular season. I think the more that you can reward a team for their regular season performance, you should be able to. Good idea, MLB. Well, the Mets have upgraded something. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Woo, man, the Mets, we gotta keep it moving, man.
We're keeping moving. We're not gonna talk about the Mets in February. Well, we know some players that will be in the WNBA Hall of Fame. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Let me hit them brakes, though, for my league. You know what I'm saying?
Swin Cash, Tamika Catchings, and Lauren Jackson will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. What memories do you have from this trio of great basketball players?
Man, talking about Swin Cash, I saw her in New Orleans. She's doing her thing with the Pelicans. Also, Tamika Catchings, yo, she's the one that made me touch earth. Like, my second game in the league, she crossed me over and made me touch earth. I was nervous for a second. I was scared. I thought you guys were going to show the clip. But the reason you don't have the clip is because she missed the shot. But let me tell you, that was the longest 5 seconds of my life, seeing that shot go up. I'm on the ground after she crossed me up. And I'm like, please don't make it, please don't make it, please don't make it. Because I knew it would be on da-na-na, da-na-na. You know what I mean? Number one draft pick, crossed over by Tamika Catchings. And then Lauren Jackson, man, just one of the toughest players ever, international Australia. So these women deserve this. And thank you for putting it in the show. Respect.
Of course. And a little known fact.
Shout out to producer Nick.
Tamika Catchings grew up in Italy with
Kobe Bryant.
Moving on, USA Basketball announced the finalists for the 2020 Olympic team. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes, even though it's 44, so I don't know if you have time to read through everybody.
It's 44, so we're not going to talk about who is on it. It's the people that you would expect. But some of the young stars in the league, like Trae Young, Ja Morant, and Zion, were left off. What do you think about these young players sort of, you know, being told to wait for a little bit?
I'm not mad at it. I understand how USA Basketball works. I'm in the pool on the women's side. And with the young players, you sort of have to earn your stripes. You have to do all the international competitions. You have to do all the mini camps. And these guys have not done those camps yet. Doesn't mean that they can't contribute if they play in a professional setting and on the international stage. But I understand. They sort of have you build chemistry with those players. A lot of those guys in the Olympics are doing all those mini camps and are getting better, you know, as a team. So I see why they don't incorporate the young guys who haven't had that experience yet. What you meant?
20 second timeout. Here's the thing. USA should win this every time. All right. We should win the gold every single time. And do you know what this becomes? It becomes a show. And there is no better show in basketball than players like Trey and Zion and Ja. Don't forget there's an E in ESPN. The E is for entertainment. Give the people what they want. Give the people what they want. Give me the exciting basketball players wearing USA across their chest, not just the best basketball players wearing USA across their chest.
But E is also for experience. And if you saw what happened this summer, you need players with experience out there because the rest of the world is catching up.
Oh, that's hilarious. Kobe is going to be honored at Shaquille's restaurant. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes real quick because I'm here at LA Live and I can walk over and see what's happening.
That's where it is. Apparently they're going to be, rumor is they're going to be at a Kobe meal, which is a Kobe burger. And the rumor is that it comes with 5 onion rings, 81 fries, and it costs $8.24. My question is who is going to take the time to count all the individual fries?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, they should come in a pack. You probably have to portion them out. But that's cool, though. I like it. Like, it's a small touch. But, like, $8.20, that's a deal.
That is a deal.
A lot of people are going to be eating the Kobe meal.
And some tells me it's not Kobe beef. I'll tell you that much. Well, I have an easy way for you to make a cool $25,000. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes. I got to hear this.
My man Jeff Gebhardt in Kansas City said that if anyone finds him a girlfriend, he will offer $25,000 to that person. Do you have anyone for Jeffy G? Let's split the money right down the middle.
Right here. Let's go. Send me out.
Oh, let's go.
Fly me out. Let me out. We can make some real quick money. Hey, I just need you to come with me, though. I'm a little concerned, but I need like I need you as personal security or something because that seems a little sketch.
Okay.
Fly
well, first
me out.
Of all, Jeffy G's in pretty good shape, and I am the last person that would ever be able to keep anybody secure. I can barely keep myself safe. We have some really good games in the NBA tonight, starting with the Philadelphia 76ers going up against the Clippers. You mentioned earlier in the show that the Sixers happen to show up to the big games. This one's on national television. It's up against the Clippers. It's in Philadelphia. They have had some struggles lately. What do you think the Sixers will do with the Clippers this evening?
Well, it's true that the Sixers are at home versus on the road. So if they're at home, they're in their comfort zone. And one thing I really, really love about the Sixers, their fans. Their fans hold them accountable. Like early in the first quarter, if they're not playing hard, you're going to hear boo. You're going to get booed. And as an athlete, like it's always like these people are supposed to show me some love. So I think this will be really interesting. And if there's a team that is sort of impervious to road, it's Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Yeah. So this should be interesting to see if, you know, obviously the 76ers rise to the occasion like they always do and can use that momentum to help propel them on the road when they go there.
How do they have such a disparity between their road and home performance? Like normally teams play a little bit better at home, but this is insane. Look at that number on the screen. 24-2 at home, 9-19 on the road. How is that possible? Take me behind the curtain.
Look, it's maturity. It really is maturity because when you are on the road, sometimes it's even better for you because the other team might be a little lax, right? Mm. But for some reason, they haven't had the maturity to be like, all right, let's lock in. When you have so many conflicting personalities and even possibly egos, you heard what Al Horford said earlier, you know, this team is really dealing with a lot of adversity in the locker room. When you go on the road, that's magnified. That's really magnified. So for them to be able to come together in big games says a lot, right? Like we have the talent, but then they need to translate that to every other game that they're trying to really learn and make a push for the playoffs. Experience matters. That chemistry matters as they build through the regular season. And I really think that this road, like that road record is extremely telling on the camaraderie they have when adversity hits and it's very, very little.
They have the same road record as the Knicks. And whenever you have the same anything as the Knicks, you know you are in a bad spot. Now, Chiney, I know that you listen to the podcast twice every episode and watch the television show three times every episode. So you know that we adopt certain players on this program. And one of my guys, Matisse Thybulle of the 76ers, he is one of my favorite players in the league. My man locks in on defense. He is going to be a player to be reckoned with as the years go by and he gains more experience. That's not the only good game in the NBA tonight. We have another one, which is a really interesting mix of styles. In the Western Conference, we have the Rockets, who have committed to playing small ball. Clint Capella no longer on the team. PJ Tucker is like basically their center. And the Celtics, low-key, have kind of been doing the same thing in the East. They don't have too many big players. I mean, Cantor comes to mind, but they don't really have true centers. What do you think about the Rockets' commitment to small ball heading into the playoffs?
So you know, I'm from Houston, Texas. You also know I ride with this Rockets team. I like what they've done. They've had many different iterations of the Rockets going back to even the Dwight Howard, James Harden pick and roll duo that didn't work. Then you had the Trevor Ariza, which was fun. We even had Montrezl Harrell and Lou Will, which makes me cry deep inside. We had the point guard leadership and Chris Paul. And now we're at this point where I love it because the Rockets have decided to go after Russell Westbrook. And when they got him, a lot of people were like, oh, he can't shoot. I'm like, what is this new? He's like a career 23% three-point shooter, right? So, like, why are we so concerned about him shooting? He brings so much other benefits to the Rockets team. And it's on display right now. Because last year, the Rockets, I always say this, were 27th in pace. Right now, they're like top three, top five in pace. That's Russell Westbrook's effect on this team. And he's really just taken ownership of it. I know the first quarter of the season was all about James Harden and his numbers. But the story since then has been Russell Westbrook and his emergence in Houston. And I think it's really, this has been, the small ball is high risk, but high reward. And I think the Rockets took note of seeing, okay, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bucks, they're sort of in a league of their own. We have to do something. We have to be a little risky. And this is them risking it all. But guess what? Sometimes risks pay off. You think about little bets here and there. So ideally, I'm not mad at the Rockets going all in, Coach D'Antoni actually having what he wants with that small ball. It blew my mind that Robert Covington, which is a huge pickup, because he's very similar to Trevor Ariza, what he brought before. Robert Covington and PJ Tucker, they have the mentality of like, you know what? We're defenders. We're going to be tough. That's our role here. Maybe they can do it with those guys. It'll be interesting to see how sustainable it is, though.
Well, one thing it will do, it'll make me watch them on League Pass every single time. Because this, what I do love about what Westbrook brings to this team, and he's been playing so well recently, is it's not just James Harden dribbling, and then going to the basket or shooting a three anymore.
Yep.
Westbrook, they have a much more varied way of attacking you on offense. Finally, we have time for this. It's time for Soft Move or Boss Move. The XFL is innovating. That's what you do. When you want to go up against the NFL, you want to grab that football audience. You have to innovate. You have to be a little bit different. One of the ways they have done so is by giving teams money when they win. And when you win, they celebrate by chugging hard seltzers. Chinee, I have to admit it. I'm on the hard seltzer wave. I love me some White Claws. Get me a little black cherry. Some of that Bud Light seltzer. I love it so much. What do you think about celebrating your win by chugging hard seltzers?
Look, I'm not mad at it. The XFL,
soft move or boss move?
That's a boss move. That's a boss move. The XFL has some energy. You know what I mean?
Does.
They're doing some really cool stuff, whether it's like after plays and touchdowns or whatever, you get interviews. Shout out to our girl Diana Rossini. Like out there working the sidelines. So I'm not mad. Keep doing your own thing, XFL.
We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. You spent some time in Nigeria. I spent my weekend in Los Angeles attending a Nigerian wedding.
Let's go.
A lot of questions for you.
Okay,
a lot
let's
of questions
do it.
For you. They did a traditional ceremony, traditional sort of American style ceremony, and then we had, you know, reception and eating and dancing, and then they had a condensed version of a Nigerian ceremony, which I found absolutely fascinating. Big shout to Rolla K and Justice on their nuptials. But I want to ask you to explain to our audience, what is a Nigerian wedding comprised
of? What is this music? Is this supposed to be some kind of tropical music to talk about Africans?
Oh no, Reg got mad. Reg just cut it.
Cut this. Yo.
Don't ever call out Reg like that. Don't ever call out Reg like that.
Play some Wizkid.
We can't pay for it.
Play some Vector.
So tell me what.
Play some David Doe.
I wanted you to tell me about the letters. The letters, the gifts, the response letter, the whole thing. Tell me about a traditional Nigerian ceremony.
So I am Nigerian American, born and raised in Houston, Texas, but I've got Nigerian blood. My parents and everyone behind my parents for generations. Thanks for the music switch up, for the beat drop, Ridge. Everyone behind me generationally was born and raised in Nigeria. I literally am so passionate about going back. It's a part of my heritage, my culture. I'm grateful for America, the U.S., but I also know my upbringing. So, growing up, I've been to a lot of, obviously, you know, weddings. We have two types of weddings. You have the traditional wedding, which typically you fly back, if you're based here in the States, you fly back to Nigeria to your father's, like, so as a woman, it's like I'm speaking from my point of view. We go to my father's hometown, village. We say village, not like it's village with huts, because Africa, despite popular opinion, is a very cosmopolitan, upbeat place. You know, obviously they have the class system, they have a upper class, middle class, lower class, but it's still modernized. So we go back to the quote unquote village where is traditional, like where my family, my dad at least grew up. My mom grew up in Lagos, the main city. And that's where you hold the traditional wedding. That's where it's like the real garments that you wear, the Ashu Ebi, like, which is the Ankara, the fabric. You have a ceremony. Usually I'm Igbo, so it's like a wine drinking ceremony where you present the daughter to the, you know, the husband's family. So it's really cool. Once you drink from the cup, you officially are one. And so that's really neat. Then we have the white wedding, not being, you know, stereotypical, whatever the case is, white wedding dress, which is the traditional, you know, westernized version of a wedding. Because a lot of, you know, the world is getting more globalized, so a lot of people are merging with cultures. So you have the white wedding dress, the white wedding, and then you have the traditional wedding. What you saw, and now it's like more cost effective to try to do two in one, especially if it's hard to get back to Nigeria. So you will have two ceremonies in one, or you'll have two ceremonies like over the weekend, so one Friday and one Sunday. The traditional Thursday or Friday, and then the white wedding on the weekend. So again, white wedding only for white wedding dress is the westernized version. For those who, you know, so basically what you witness this was the best of both worlds. It's really fun. I know your favorite part, besides the food, had to be the money dance, though. Because Nigerians are, that's what we do. So anytime
they
there's
told
dancing.
Me, they told me to get some ones. They're like, get some ones. I'm like, get some ones. Like,
if
we're going to a strip
mouth,
club? She's like,
yeah,
no.
It's the same thing. It's literally the same thing. So as you dance, anytime someone's dancing and you're honoring, whether it's the mother, the bride, the father, the bride, the like you said, you love the squad, the crew.
Yes.
You know, your groomsmen and groomswomen. You spray them. Anytime something good's happening, you get sprayed with money. So
yes,
you're really making money back that you spent on your wedding. But it's more so like a blessing. We still do dowries even, but they're sort of altered to like the whole, you know, 2020 vision, not like necessarily.
Yeah.
So Nigerian weddings, everyone that goes is like, whoa, it's lit. It's loud. It's fun.
It was
people
so much
are
fun.
Dancing. There's great food. The outfits, like typically we do at least 3 outfit changes.
Oh, yeah, there were some outfit changes. There were some really good outfit changes. And also, like, the entrance of the bride and groom was my favorite part because the groom came out when he's got, like, a wedding party. Like, my wedding party was, like, 5 dudes. But, like, this wedding party was, like, 25 dudes. And they were so hyped. They picked him up in the air. And the same thing happened with the bride. My wife was part of, like, her, like, hype squad.
Was.
So yeah, so they had, the family was dressed in one dress, and the family came out first, and then the bride squad was dressed in a different dress, and they all had the head wraps, and they came out second.
Different encore,
and it was just, it was so energetic, and it was such a lovely sort of thing to be a part of, and I loved it. And you know what else I love though, Chinee?
What do you like?
Nigerian food.
Lego! What'd you eat? Tell me what you ate.
I don't remember exactly what the dishes were called.
Describe it.
But it was like, it was rice, but it was really spicy and it had like a tomato in it.
Jollof rice. So that's the infamous African jollof rice, which Nigerian rice is the best version of jollof, despite what the Ghanaians say. Keep going.
It was so good. And we had like a spinach dish, which kind of like reminded me like a little bit of like sag, like an Indian sag. It was like a spinach that was like, I don't know how to say it, like all chopped up and kind of like a big slop.
Was
thing.
There
it was
no? That was soup.
Amazing.
Was there yellow in it or no?
I think so.
You probably ate egusi soup. That's my favorite soup.
Yeah, that was amazing. And then we had like a, I don't know how to describe this one. I described it like a tamale, kind of. It was kind of like a tamale.
It was moi
moi. Fish in it.
You ate moi moi.
Yes.
I don't know if it was fish or if it was egg, but you probably ate
it could
moi
have been.
Moi.
Yeah, that was banging. And then we had some chicken dish that I can't really describe. There were some adult beverages involved. That was the end of the night.
Did you have Puff Puff? Did you have like the little cake that's soft? The kids might have loved it.
I don't know.
It's like a round little cinnamon ball of cake.
I didn't have everything because they had so many dishes that I just kind of picked whatever I kind of felt like eating at the time. But it was really, I had 2 plates. It was spicy. But I like spicy. It wasn't too spicy for me. But the rice had some kick. The rice had some kick to it. You know, usually rice dishes don't really have that kind of spice,
That's
but that rice was so good. Oh, it was great.
You're going to come to another Nigerian wedding. I just got to find a groom first. You know what I'm saying?
I know. We'll find a groom. What about this guy, Jeff in Kansas City? Let's holler at him. If you can pay for the wedding with the
money
right
there. I don't think he fits the requirements. I got to be able to wear heels. Gotta wear heels.
Big shout to you, Chinee. This has been so much fun. You want to come back tomorrow?
Definitely. If I got the invite, I'll come back for
Let's
J&A.
Do it again tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. Victoria Dowling will be so happy. She'll be
Love
so
her.
Happy. 2 days in a row, Chinee.
Love her.
We'll be back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to the Jalen and Jacoby podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts and call 985-80-JALEN right now. 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail and we will put it on the show. We'll be back tomorrow.
That music had me weak.